The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
On this episode, we are back talking with a podcast listener and safety pro himself, Mr. Drew Hinton. If you remember, on a previous episode, he came and talked to us about confined space rescue teams. So I wanted to talk about this topic on this episode with him. He had a post recently on LinkedIn talking about safety committees, top 10. Actually, it wasn't a post. It was an article he wrote, posted it on LinkedIn. But it's about, you know, what makes safety committees successful. And he has some tips to share. So we go through all of those tips in this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. If you recall, Drew Hinton, the president of Aero Safety, an EHS consulting group based out of Glasgow, Kentucky, 10 plus years, a firefighter, EMT, safety consultant, corporate safety manager, you name it. He's a real safety pro. And we got to know each other because of this podcast. And that's what I love about this medium. I get to be exposed to some of the best safety professionals in the industry, and we get to share ideas and learn from each other. And that's truly what I see as podcasting being about, is the collaboration, the working together and sharing of ideas. And it's great. It's not just a one-way conversation. Reach out on LinkedIn and communicate with us there as well about each episode. But again, I digress. Drew Hinton is going to talk with us about what makes safety committees successful and some tips that you can use to set up your safety committee. So without further ado, here is the interview with Mr. Drew Hinton.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the safety pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. Returning as our guest today, Drew Hinton. How you doing, Drew?
Doing good. How you doing, Blaine?
Pretty good. Now, we last talked about confined space rescue teams. We talked about the picking the right people and doing all the training, but then also making sure they stay engaged. And that's a good lead in to this topic, which is safety committees. So you posted something on LinkedIn, right? It was on LinkedIn about safety committees.
Right. Yeah. I posted, it's like 10 tips for creating an effective safety committee.
We're going to get into that because I like that tip, that post you had with those 10 tips. So just go ahead and talk a little bit about what goes into standing up a safety committee from your perspective and share those tips with the listeners.
Absolutely. So there are some states that you may get into, and one of the things I pointed out in the article is there's no federal regulation for a safety committee, but some states, mainly within the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, will require you to have a safety committee in the workplace. So there's around 15 to 20 states that require you to have one. But even if you don't, you're not required to have one, it's absolutely a best practice to have that to get your employees involved. So in the article that you mentioned, Blaine, it has several different tips. So one of the things when you start out establishing that committee is, how many people do you want on that committee? Do you want 5 people? Do you want 20 people? Do you want everybody that shows up? So there is a sweet spot for this. So ideally, as a general rule of thumb, you want about 5 to 10 employees on your committee. So, and what I point out in this article is, if you have too many, let's say you have a company that has 100 employees and you have 25 on the committee, well, you might have too much to focus on because everybody's bringing up their points, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. The meetings might go longer than you expected. So if you're wanting to get out of there an hour, by the time everybody gets their 2 cents in, it may be running on 2 hours, 3 hours. So it's not respecting everybody's time. But on the flip side of things, if you don't have enough members, you may have that lack of diversity, that lack of People bring in different experiences and different backgrounds to the table. So ideally that 5 to 10 people is generally your sweet spot. And what I like to tell people is it's better to have not enough and you can add people later rather than having to be the bad guy and say, hey, you know, we got too many, let's, you know, I'll have to kick you off. So make sure you have the proper amount with that. And then you also have to look at, who do I want on this committee? Do I want, hey, I've been working with this person in my department. They're a good friend. We hang out after work. They're, a really loyal person to me. I think they'd be a good fit. That may be so. But you also want to look at what is it going to be as far as benefiting the company? What do I want out of my safety committee? That's one of the first things you want to establish is, what's my goals and objectives? Do I want this safety committee to just, you know, meet once a month or once a week, whatever your criteria is? Do I want to meet and review statistics? Do I want to meet and improve processes and procedures? Do I want to use this team? One of the big benefits I use them for is to use them as cross-functional teams and bring them around the workplace, help them perform your inspections. So if you have monthly inspections on your fire extinguishers, your emergency exit lighting, your emergency eyewash stations, whatever it may be, have them go through and do those inspections for you. So getting those people involved with safety in the workplace and serving as your go-to person is huge. But again, getting back to who needs to be on that committee, ideally you should have somebody from every different department or area within your workplace. So just to name off a few places, of course, you're going to first off have your EHS department. So if you have one person in your EHS department, it's just one safety manager. Or if you have three, you know, you have a safety manager and a couple safety coordinators or whoever it may be, you want those all involved. But you also want your production supervisors, your maintenance supervisors, field service, if you have that. If you have just a general shop at your facility, have those involved, engineering. And then management is kind of it's a toss-up. It's really up to you on whether you want that management in the facility or in the safety committee meeting. And what I mean by that is, when I say management, I'm meaning upper management, general managers, you know, vice presidents, you know, COOs, whoever it may be. And what I'm hitting at with that is, depending on your safety culture within the workplace, how good of a psychological safety you have in that workplace is going to determine how much that's going to affect your safety committee. So if I have some of the, you know, lack of better terms, some of the big wigs in the meeting, I may be afraid to speak up and say something if maybe they were the one that kind of chartered that initiative, or maybe they're behind that procedure. I may be afraid to speak up and say something with them in the room. So it's really up to you if you want to get them in there and do that. So what I tell people is, they can either, A, you can maybe have them attend every other meeting. So that gives them an option, gives people an option to kind of speak up if they want to, and or hold back if they need to. Or I've also seen companies exclude the upper management from attending the meetings, but the EHS manager, whoever the lead person is, will meet with the upper management one-on-one afterwards and go over everything. So that way your opinions are still getting heard, it's still getting communicated to upper management, but without a fear of reprimand or reprisal on that one.
So what I hear you saying is, it's almost twofold. It's like two sides of the same coin. One, you want to have the right mix, a good cross-section, but you also need to have the right organizational environment, the culture.
Exactly.
You know, you mentioned psychological safety, because, you know, having the right people in the room, you're not going to get the right results if you don't have the right culture and environment set up.
Correct. If you have an environment to where people are afraid to speak up, then, you know, it's going to be hard for you to pull those answers out of people that you want to get out of them.
Great. So what are some of the other tips that you get into? If you get past this part and you're sailing here, what do you get into after that?
So once you establish who's going to be on your committee, once you establish, you know, what frequency you're meeting at, again, like I mentioned earlier, you got to establish your goals and objectives. What are they going to do? So, and this will help pinpoint how often they need to meet. So if it's something that's, you know, maybe they're doing just reviewing statistics, they're going to maybe do a few procedure updates, maybe once a month, maybe beneficial. To whereas if they are maybe working a small company, to where it's, you know, let's say less than 50 people, maybe instead of meeting once a month for an hour, maybe it may be better off to meet once a week for 15, 20 minutes, just kind of a quick huddle, get together, you know, extended toolbox talk, if you would. But also, I've seen several companies where they have a corporate safety committee. It's spanning across several different facilities across the country, and I've even been involved with this at one of my previous employers as well. So we'll meet, let's say, monthly within our own facility, and then once a quarter, we will have a video conference call with the other facilities across the U.S. Let's say we got somebody in Indiana and Texas and Iowa and Florida and everywhere else. You can have that quarterly meeting to where you can see what are these other facilities that we have, what are they dealing with? Maybe we can bounce some ideas off of them and vice versa. So establish that committees. And then what's part of your policy that you should have is determining how long those people should stay on there. So if you have a small committee, again, small committees may not be a big of an issue to keep them on indefinitely. But if you have a large facility, large committee, you want to get out of that confirmation bias. You want to get out of that issue of the same people coming in, you know, meeting after meeting and proposing the same ideas and getting kind of complacent, if you would. So my mentality and the way I kind of do things that where I'm at now is I will rotate the people off every year. But that's not everybody. I will rotate the frontline workers, the hourly workers off every year. The management, the supervisors, they will stay on as the department heads. You can also certainly have a backup in place for that. But one of the things I also kind of threw in this past year with employees as a kind of a encouragement to get other people in the facility involved, as I told the people that were rotating off, I said, I want you to find somebody that you would recommend for the safety committee to take your spot. So that puts it in their hands. It gets them engaged. It gets them out in the shop or out in the field, trying to find somebody that they think is safety conscious and there'll be a big benefit to our committee.
Yeah, this is a great tip because it keeps them involved even though they're leaving. They're actually recommending somebody to take their place. They're not going to just recommend some, you know, schlub who's just going to be dead weight and drag the whole team down. It's going to reflect poorly on them. So that's all great. And you mentioned some people have asked me this. They say, well, if I create a committee and we keep everyone on for 12 months and we rotate, we're going to have a whole new committee. You know, it's like now you want to stagger those change outs. You don't want to change it. You don't want to lose too much capital knowledge. You want to have some amount of members stay on to create some cohesion, right?
Yep. And you can set that schedule up to however you see it fit. You know, if you want to do it from January to December and change them out in between, or if you want to do it, you know, some people's fiscal years from July to June, whatever it may be, staggered out that way. Like you said, you're always going to keep your upper management, or I recommend keeping your upper management and your supervisors on, but staggering out to where not all of your hourly and frontline workers are being replaced at the same time. So good point there.
Great. So what are some of the other, some of the other pieces of advice from your experience that you have on what makes safety committees successful?
I think one of the biggest things is to be very transparent. One of the things that people will learn about me when it comes to safety is I'm as transparent as they can become, as they can be. You know, if we're doing great, you'll know we're doing great. If we're in a stage where we need some improvement, you're going to know it very, very well and very openly. But the same concept applies to the safety committee. One of the things I do is I send out a perception, EHS perception survey to the companies that I oversee just to see how we're doing. There's about 90 questions on it. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. But one of the sections on that quiz is, or on the survey, is does your company have a safety committee? Are you aware of what they're doing? How involved are you with it? So on and so forth. And one of the questions on everything is, you know, I don't know if we have one. And it's interesting. We don't want to see people say, I don't know if we have one, when in fact we always do. So we want to minimize that. So one of the things I encourage everybody to be, like I said, with being transparent, is when you complete the meeting, type up your minutes, type up everything that was discussed, and post it. You always post mine on the employee bulletin board for everybody to see. Some companies will put it out on their, on the break tables. I'll also send it out in an email. I'll type it up, save it in a PDF, and send it out to everybody, to where everybody can see it, see what was discussed, what's in the works. So that way they know, hey, you know, my idea that I brought up last month, not just getting thrown to the side. You know, I know they're actually discussing that. So it improves the morale within the company, helps them get engaged and know that, hey, you know, my company does take safety seriously.
And that's a great way to check that transparency box, right? Is to publicize your progress. And that gets into tip number seven. How should you track the progress of your safety committee, right? So you could publish your goals, the safety committee charter, you know, so that the population can hold you accountable.
Yep. And just like as you are as an employee, you know, us as individuals, we have individual goals that we want to do. So like I set with my employees that report to me, I'll have them set individual goals every year. So business goals and personal goals, same thing should apply for your safety committee. You want short-term goals. So what can I achieve or what do I want to achieve in the next month or two? And then long-term goals, what do I want to achieve? So if it's January, what do I want to achieve by the end of December before the year's over? Set those, make sure you track them every month, give it an update. You can either report those as just part of the minutes when you publish those. Some companies track KPIs and you can put those in the KPIs. You know, how often are you meeting on your safety committee? You know, if one of your goals on your safety committee is performing inspections, you know, how many inspections are you performing? You know, how many of those inspections are you finding with zero deficiencies or zero failed items? So several different ways you can track that. But whatever you do, make sure you follow up. If you assign that task to somebody, follow up with them, see how they're doing. And the big thing is, as safety professionals, is we have to be a coach and a mentor. So making sure we're following up and say, hey, how can I help? What can I do to help you get to where you need to be?
Yeah, you know, we often forget, and I'm often left scratching my head on when I leave LinkedIn sometimes, but we forget that there is the professional part of being a safety professional. And it has very little to do with the technical aspects of safety and more to do with just being a professional. And you touched on it right there, is being a coach, a mentor, is helping other people develop. We, you know, we are leaders in the business, and we're not just, you know, a lot of us, so we start out being sort of that technical expert, right? The safety technician, if you will, regardless of what title we have in the company, you know, we're very technical. You know, as we mature in our career and in, you know, the organizations, we transition, whether we realize it or not, sort of like boiling a lobster, we end up in this role that you just talked about. And that's key. And something like a safety committee, that can allow a safety professional to kind of get into the coaching and development, you know, sharing that expertise and knowledge and enabling and empowering other workers.
Yeah, it's all the time. It's in the safety profession. It's a collaborative effort. You know, I can think back to one of the first jobs I interviewed for when I was going from the fire department to the safety profession. Was the current safety manager asked me, said, "Where do you see yourself in a couple of years? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And I said, "In your spot." And that's what I tell people when I hire people that work and report to me. I want you to work as if you're wanting to take my spot. You know, right. One day it's going to happen. I want you to be working toward taking my spot. And now what I can do on my portion is I can help you share my knowledge, share my experience. Maybe I do have more knowledge in a certain area. Maybe I don't, but I want to make sure I'm sharing that knowledge. And some people get the mentality of, you know, well, if I share this knowledge, then it's going to make me not look any better than they are. And maybe put my job in jeopardy. You shouldn't be in a place like that. So you want to share the knowledge, share the skill and experience, and build them up. So that way, one day it's going to happen. You're going to leave no matter where you're at. At one point, you will leave. But you want your predecessors your people following you, you want them to be ready to take over that role. You don't want them to be thrown into it not ready when you could have been helping them out all the way.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So let's do a quick check here. We've covered number one, how many people should be on your safety committee? Number two, who should be on your safety committee? The third one, how often should your safety committee meet? Number four, I have a safety committee member who never shows up. Now what? Did we touch on that one?
No, we didn't. And this is something that I think everybody will run into. And this is something that it really benefits to have alternatives or backups in place. So if you have a committee, you're meeting once a month, and let's say somebody misses 6 of the 12 meetings a year, you should have in your policy, the way I have it written in my policy for my safety committee, is they have to attend at least 75% of the meetings for that year. If they fall below that quota, then we'll kind of bring it up for a review. If it's personal reasons, I'll kind of review it with them one-on-one, or the committee head will review it with them one-on-one. But if it's non-personal reasons, let's say they just haven't showed up for, you know, just just didn't feel like showing up that day. We'll bring it up amongst the committee. We'll kind of do a review of it and say, hey, how do we want to move forward with this? But you have to have some kind of a quota, I guess you would say, in place to where you're holding people accountable. You know, if you have people that never show up half the time and you don't hold people accountable for it, your committee is going to suffer from that. You're going to lose effectiveness. You're going to lose efficiency. So again, my kind of threshold for me is 75%. So if you're doing 12 meetings a year, you have to at least attend 9 of those.
Got it. Good. That's good point. You can't have a committee, an effective committee, if you've got a lot of holes in attendance. So then that was number 4. Number 5, we talked about, once I've established a safety committee, do the members stay on indefinitely? We talked about changing those over. This is why I'm a terrible interviewer, because I'd rather just start talking and I get you off track. Number 6, what will your safety committee do? And we touched on that one. How should you track the progress of your safety committee? Number 7. Number 8, should the items discussed during meetings be communicated to the rest of the company? You talked about how you post those. And then number 9, this is a good one. What if my employees work remotely or are quote unquote out in the field?
Yep. So this is something that I deal with. So right now I oversee EHS departments for 5 different companies across the U.S. And the facility that my main office is at, everybody's within close range. I mean, we have a field service, but you know, most of the field service guys work within an hour away. So everybody can pretty much, for the most part, come in and attend every safety committee meeting. But actually, the company that I work for out in Kansas, our guys are spread across the country. They're millwrights. They're going from site to site, from state to state. They'll be in somewhere different every single week. So one of the things that we do is we will set up a meeting for a go-to meeting. So video conference calls are an excellent way to combat that issue. So you can set up, you know, there's issues or there's software platforms like Microsoft Teams, Skype, GoToMeeting, WebEx, whatever platform you want to use. But we will set it up, and once a month our guys will call in. They can call in from their all of our foremen have a laptop, but they can also use their cell phone to call in, and they can see my PowerPoint that I'm presenting to them. So they can see everything I'm discussing. If there's a incident that we have to review, they can see the picture of, you know, if it has a picture of the injury, whatever it may be, or whatever that situation is. They can see that. They can all chime in. And then afterwards, I'll send them a copy of that presentation to their email. But there's tons and tons of ways that you can get around, you know, people being remote or out in the field. But I think with Microsoft Teams and GoToMeeting, WebEx, all those different platforms, there's several ways you can get everybody involved no matter where they're at.
Yeah, this is clearly an example where technology is your friend if used correctly. So perfect. And of course, wrapping it all up at number 10, you know, if we do all 1 through 9 effectively, number 10 sort of answers itself, but it's important. You made some good points here. Number 10, will my safety committee guarantee a safer workplace?
So nothing's going to guarantee a safer workplace, but it's all a matter of putting extra tools in the bag. So it's going to be something, an added benefit and an asset to your EHS department and to your company. So if you use it properly, the way it's supposed to be using, you're using it to identify unsafe conditions, hazards, help determine corrective actions, boost compliance, that will certainly help it. It's not going to be a big, you know, a miraculous bag of solutions as I put the article, but it will certainly help you chip away. Just like the old saying, how do you eat an elephant just one bite at a time? So you're going to start chipping away at everything, and it will certainly improve it. Well, it's not your miracle there that's going to fix everything, but it's certainly one big tool in your toolbox.
Absolutely. I think underutilized in a lot of companies, if not underutilized, just used the wrong way. I see a lot of safety, as you probably have as well. I saw a lot of safety committees that were just ineffective. It was a joke. It ended up just being a gripe session each meeting, where they did a simple look back of all the things they felt went wrong. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, facing forward and moving ahead. And it was terrible. So, you know, it's hard to turn that around. Have you ever experienced that sort of tuning up, not just creating a safety committee, but taking an existing committee, rebranding, redefining it, and reestablishing it? Have you ever been involved in that?
Yeah, I actually have one time. We had a situation where I came in to a pre-established safety committee, and we started, after about a few months, we started realizing, hey, half of this stuff could have been sent out in an email. You know, my kind of mentality is I don't want to come in right off the bat, start changing things up. I want to see how it's going, see the effectiveness of it, what the, you know, what the culture's like. And after about 3 or 4 months, I realized, hey, half the stuff that we've been going over could have been easily been sent out, you know, in an email. So not only that, did I change up the agenda, but also I had to change up a few of the people on the committee. Some people were just like you said, people come up there, just gripe. They use it as a gripe session to, you know, sometimes that's good, but if that's all they're doing is coming to the committee and griping out, well, we should have done this. Why are we doing this? Whatever. You know, come to me with a solution. Come to me with a suggestion.
Solutions based, right?
Yep. So if you're going to gripe about it, let's work together. Let's figure out how can we fix this or how can we prevent it from happening in the future, whatever it may be. Let's figure out a solution. So there's definitely, it gets back to that situation where I talk about continuously reevaluating your situation. Is it still effective as it was a year ago? So making sure you're continuously evaluating.
Fantastic. Look, yeah, you started off saying this, you know, check your state requirements. You may already know this if you're a safety pro out there. If not, check your state requirements. Also, workers' comp. I know in Ohio, we're lucky to have sort of a state-managed plan where all the employers, you know, buy into the program. But if you're in certain incentive programs with the Bureau, it does require, in Ohio, it does require a safety committee. But what's great is your insurance carrier, your Bureau, State Workers' Comp Bureau, they have examples of safety committee structure. They can give you some guidance. Talk to a business association if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you're a member of a construction association. They've probably got a committee. You might be on that committee. So think about what you do and don't like about that committee when looking at your own organization as well. But just get started. I'll have a link to Drew's article on, is that a LinkedIn Pulse article? Is that what that is?
Yes, it's an article posted on there.
There you go. It's a good one. So it's going to be up there forever now, Drew. You can't ever take it back. no take backs. All right. So 10 tips for creating an effective safety committee by none other than Drew Hinton. Drew, I hope to have you back again to talk about something else. This is fun. I like picking your brain.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right. There you have it. As promised, I covered some stuff with Drew. He went down some good tips for us on safety committees. I had done some episodes in the past about, you know, teams and successful teams and touched on committees, but this is the first time I was really able to go in depth into safety committees specifically. So thank you, Drew, for your insight, and I want to hear what you all have to say. Jump over onto LinkedIn and join in on the conversation with us and look for Drew's post. I have a link to it in the show notes. Spotify users, as always, you got to go to thesafetypropodcast.com for this episode to make sure that the show notes work. They don't work in Spotify. It's definitely on the Spotify side, but you could still get access on the web. And I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.